I want to draw your attention this morning to the 12th chapter of the Gospel according to Luke. I'd like to tell you before I start this morning that I don't know why, but my ears are ringing. And I can't tell how loud I'm talking. I know I'm loud on a normal day. And so I apologize if I do get too loud. I guess the squinching of your eyes will do the trick and let me know I need to tone it down some. But please pray for me that the Lord will bless me with enough grace to be able to get through some thoughts that I believe He has put on our mind. And the words of our Lord in Luke chapter 12, and I want to read verse 32. The Scripture says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. The verses that have come before this particular verse are very similar to the words that our Lord spoke in the Sermon on the Mount. It's recorded in Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. It's not the same context of the message. He's not in the same location, and it's not the same time period as far as the timeline is concerned of Christ's ministry, but the words are much the same. He's told them to seek the kingdom of God and to not be concerned or worried about the day-to-day needs that we need to live, to instead to press into the kingdom and to seek the kingdom of God. Even though it's not the same context, our Lord's message was the same to the Jews and to the Samaritans that He spoke unto. It was to press into the kingdom of God. That's still our same message today, is to seek the kingdom of God. "There remaineth therefore a rest for the people of God," is what Paul wrote in Hebrews chapter 4. There's a kingdom that was present during the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a kingdom, the word escapes me that I want to use, but there is an entity in this world where our King sits on the domain. He's in charge, and it's the kingdom of God here in this world. It existed then, it exists now, and our charge is still to press into that kingdom. And He says that here in this verse that I've read to you, to fear not. He calls them a little flock. Fear not, little flock. I asked many a time people that I run into, either in my office or from time to time, they find out that I'm a pastor. And believe it or not, it's one of the first questions that comes out of people's mind. I've even learned that it comes out more often than what exactly are Primitive Baptists. And that is, how big is your church? How many members do you have? And, you know, I tell them, well, if everybody's there on Sunday, we have upwards of 40 people. We have, 30-something active members. And a lot of times I receive a positive reaction to that, about how blessed that is that you can be a little flock. You know, there's benefits to being a little flock, and that is that the shepherd can have actual contact with the flock. That he can speak with his members. That I'm available to you should you ever need me, and I'm not stretched in 10 different directions because there's so many of you. You know, there's a lot of people that attend a gathering on Sunday morning, and they've never had the privilege of even shaking hands with the man that stands before them and speaks God's word unto them. They've never had that privilege. I can remember the church that we attended before we came to the Old Baptist. The people who would join after church that Sunday morning, they'd walk like they were going up there to the preacher, but immediately they'd be redirected to the side over here to one of the associate pastors, you see, because there's no contact between the ones who are there. But the Scriptures refer to God's flocks as being little flocks. If you look back through the history of the people of God, sure, there have been exceptions to the rule, and there have been bigger churches, but most of the Lord's flocks have been little flocks and little people that are gathered together and that love one another and that bear one another's burdens and that praise God together and that sing in unison. And let us never forsake or overlook the benefits of of being a little flock. There's a lot of benefits to that. It doesn't mean that we run off the road. It just means that we praise God for the flock that we have. You believe it's a miracle? I believe it is that the 40 that we have gathered on Sunday morning, that there's still 40 people left in this dilapidated world that still have a desire for spirit and truth. It's a miracle from on high, and we should be thankful for that. And we shouldn't be thankful for it with a fearful heart, because the Lord says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." You know, not only is it the Father's good pleasure to give us the earthly kingdom and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's the Lord's good pleasure to give unto us the eternal kingdom and give us a home in heaven. It's the Lord's good pleasure to give unto us the kingdom. I find myself thinking that I've got an ability to be able to tell. That distracted me, and I'm sorry. It normally doesn't, but it did. Because if she wasn't fixing to do it, I was supposed to ask y'all to sing a song because I was fixing to do it. So I already have my mind on that. And so bear with me through this. The scripture says, "Fear not, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." I believe that I can tell when people give me things and it wasn't in good pleasure that they gave it to me. Have you ever felt that way whenever somebody's giving you something and you know they gave it to you and you're thankful for it? But you can also tell that there's a string attached, you know, whenever they give it to you, that you can almost see the string stretched from their hand. You know, I'm not saying that I feel that around here. I can remember whenever I was in prayer over this particular verse up here this morning, I remember that just a little less than a year ago, that Brother Lloyd brought me and the deacons up here to this room to offer it for us to have a place to worship for the next year. And Brother Lloyd had raided the Home Depot sales rack and had a bunch of ladders in here. They're about this high. And I remember saying, I remember asking him what he was going to do with all those ladders. And he said, "Do you want one?" I said, "Yeah, I think I want one." And I mean, he gladly gave me that ladder. And I just remember thinking, it was out of his good pleasure that he gave me that. You know, I can walk through my daddy's shop, doesn't it? And he's got all kind of good tools that I probably would never use, maybe once a year. But I'm intrigued by having that kind of stuff, and I like it. And He gives me anything I want, and I know whenever he hands it to me that it's out of his good pleasure, that he doesn't intend to receive anything in return for that. And that is the way our Father gave us eternal life. He freely gave it to us. He didn't give it to us grudgingly. He gave it to us freely out of his good pleasure. He said, "This is what I have given unto you." He didn't give it out of a grudging heart. Do you know that there's a difference between giving with a grudging heart and giving with a free, loving, cheerful heart? There's a difference between those two. The scriptures teach us that in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, that God loveth a cheerful giver. One that gives cheerfully from their heart. They enjoy giving people things. All kind of stories just pop into my head as I'm standing here before you about how many times people have given me things so cheerfully. When we got married, Alice and I got married, we didn't have any furniture to our name. We had an apartment that we were just going to stock as the extra funds were every month. But we walked through her grandmother's house and she says, "Do y'all have a couch?" And we said, "No, we don't have a couch." "This is your couch." She gave us her couch off her floor. She said, "Do you have anything to put pictures on?" We said, "No, we don't have anything." She gave us a piece of furniture and freely gave it to us and never said, "Okay, when you get done with it, bring it back." We did. But she didn't say, "When you get done with it, bring it back," or anything. She freely gave us those things. And our Lord in heaven freely gave us a life so that He would, in His own good pleasure, give us a life to live in eternity with Him. It was in His pleasure. He received pleasure from that sort of gift. The book of Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that having predestinated us unto the adoption of children unto Jesus Christ unto Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will. It was His pleasure. That's a loving, good God. That's our example that has been set forth. And that's what He's telling His disciples here. He says, "Fear not, little flock, for the Father's good pleasure to give unto you the kingdom." Fear not, little flock. It's the Father's good pleasure to give these things unto you. Doesn't your view of the Lord change whenever, or the view of somebody change whenever you know they've given you something freely versus giving you something out of a grudging heart, as if there's something in return that you've got to be able to recompense for the gift? The the truth of God's Word would teach us that there's nothing that we can give in return for that gift on eternity. There's nothing that we have that could grant us any extra blessings in that eternal place. There's nothing that we have that could pay for it. There's nothing that we have that could buy it. There's no recompense that could be given by us. It had to be given by Jesus. And He freely gave it. He freely gave His life on the cross. He gave up His life on the cross. I believe a lot of people mistakenly believe that the wicked Pharisees and Jews of that day killed Him. And they did seek to, and they hated Him. But His life couldn't be taken. He had to give it up. He couldn't be killed. He had to give up His life. And that was the only thing that could pay for our eternal home in heaven. So He says, "Fear not. It is the Lord's good pleasure to give unto you that kingdom." What a manifest blessing it would be for all the children of God to be able to see that. To be able to see that the Lord freely gave it to them. You know, the toils of this world will never stop. The people of this world will never stop having to add something unto the free gift of salvation. They are always going to tack some sort of legal requirement on that somebody has to do in order to be able to get that free gift. They'll say it's free, but you've still got to do something. Well, is it free or do I have to do something? The blood on the cross will never be enough for this world. But it is all that God required. And that's all. If that's all that God required, then that's all that we should preach was required for that free gift. I tell you, it takes away a lot of fear from the heart of the child of God for him to know that this gift was given for free. It's not something that we have to fear that anybody's going to miss. If He's going to give it unto them, then they've got it. It's something that they obtain. And He says, you've got to seek and press forward not to get that gift, but to rejoice in the gift. See, the next verse of Scripture, he goes and he says that because you've been given this gift by God's good pleasure, what should you do with the gift? What is it that you should, what sort of blessings can you have from the gift itself? He says, sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupted. You know, even though the Lord has given us the free gift of salvation according to His good pleasure, He's told us that there's more gifts and there's more grace to be obtained in this world through our obedience unto Him and through following Him. And He says, now that you've seen that this gift is according to His good pleasure, sell all that you have and give alms and give thanks. Sell all that you have and be willing to give and distribute with the same cheerful heart that the Lord gave you that salvation. Sell that which you have. He says, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. You know, there's a lot of people. I remember attending funerals growing up. And I had cousins, my daddy's first cousins, and some of them who I believe love Jesus and try to serve Him in the life that they have. But in the funerals of family members growing up, they would always have to call on certain ones because they were cousins and they were ministers. And they used to always love to tell how my aunts and uncles had laid up for themselves years of treasures in eternity. And they're now basking in the treasures and in the blessings. And they're in their special place above that they've laid up those treasures over years because of their labors here in this world. And, you know, I don't believe at all that there's one child of God that's going to receive any greater gift above than another child of God. I believe that's what the Scriptures teach us, is that we'll all receive the same inheritance from Jesus Christ, because we'll be looked upon just as He is. Every single one of His children will receive the same gift of eternity. There's not going to be levels of eternity. There's levels of disciples here in this world, but there's no levels of children of God in eternity. Our God would be unjust if He took the labors of some that dwelled in better light here in this world and blessed them greater whenever they got to heaven than He does every one of them. The Lord blesses them all equally, but the Scripture plainly teaches that there's a way that we can lay up treasures for ourselves here in this world where moth doth not corrupt. You know, where your bags do not grow old. You know, there's Scriptures and there's learning that we can partake in here in this world that don't grow old. the truths that are contained in this word, they don't ever grow old. They don't ever change. The scriptures teach us that God doesn't change, and you know His gospel doesn't change. Whenever I got to Old Canoochee on Thursday night, the first thing I noticed whenever I got there is how much things had changed since we were there 2 years ago to preach that annual meeting. One of the things that had changed is my mom and daddy had joined that church down there. They had there were different faces in the congregation that night. There was a new eating place on the back of the church they had built on to be able to eat meals together. There was things that had changed. And you know, as we go back, sometimes we see things when we go back places where we used to worship God and things haven't changed for the better. They've changed for the worse. Well, the things that I saw there were changing for the better. But our Lord, He doesn't change. The truth is bags that don't grow old. They don't wax gross. I can never get tired of learning about our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, if we let our minds slip, if we let the truth slip from us, then of course we could have our light taken from us and not rejoice in those things of old. But if we continue to grow in the grace and knowledge of our God, our bags don't wax gross. They're filled week in and week out with things of God that we can learn and manifest our love for Him. And He says they never grow old. And that's the treasure that we're trying to lay up for ourselves here in heaven. There's a kingdom in this world where the Lord still sits on His throne and where He's recognized as the King of the kings and Lord of lords. And it's in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is there that you can lay up for yourselves treasure in heaven. It's there where your bags will never wax gross. One of the things that I've enjoyed over the past couple of weeks is hearing the testimony of so many. You want to talk about bags that don't wax gross. I love to hear how people came to the knowledge of the truth and how that light first snapped on. Last Sunday we were at lunch at After Road Church. And after lunch, Brother Danny Parker, who's been the pastor up there for 30-something years, he began to take me around to people who were seated around there. And he would tell me about how they joined the church and have them tell me about their experiences. What was one of the funnier things that he told me, and he told me in front of them, it wasn't something that he told me aside, was how when they first attended the Old Baptist Church, how they didn't really appreciate the things that were being preached there. Maybe they were, he pointed out two sisters in particular that had started to date Old Baptist boys, and they're up in their 50s now. He's been there that long, and then they had started dating these boys, and these boys had brought their girlfriends to church, and they laughed about it then, but he said, you know, when they first came, I got that, you know, that squint and those arms crossed, and they were angry about the things that they were preaching there about God's free and sovereign grace and the predestination and election, because it was foreign to their minds, you see. But he told me, he said, both of those boys asked me to come and to talk to them. And he said, I sat down and opened the Word of God unto them. And whenever I got done, God had blessed it to the point where they said, it can't be any other way. It has to be that way. God had to do it that way. And they're still rejoicing and basking in those bags that they started to fill that day. They started to fill those bags that day, and they're still rejoicing in it. Those bags don't wax old. Yesterday, sitting in Old Canoochee Church, a member of Hebron Primitive Baptist Church, her daughter brought her in a wheelchair. I've seen her every time I've gone down there. She's the sister that the first time I made an effort to speak before God's people outside of Bethany Church in an introductory way, she came to me afterwards. And I know this sister in terms of her finances and things like that. And she gave me money for the attempt that I made. And I just remember thinking, I am so unfit and undeserving of this. But she sat there and she told me her testimony about seeing the truth. She was from Wyoming. Man, I didn't know they had any Primitive Baptists in Wyoming. Did y'all? I didn't know anything about any Primitive Baptists in Wyoming. I didn't think they had much of anything out there other than trees and a few trees and a lot of sand and flat country. But she said there was a young man from Garfield, Georgia that moved out here and was on the Air Force base down the road. And I met him and I married him and I moved back to Garfield, Georgia. If you've never been to Twin City, Georgia, odds are you don't know where Garfield, Georgia is. And unless you have a reason to go somewhere else, you won't ever know where Garfield, Georgia is, because there's nothing there. Nothing but old torn down buildings where an old community used to exist. But there's an old Baptist church out there that was established in 1804. Brother Johnny Coward, that visits up here from time to time, is a deacon down at that church. And he said she began to visit. And she began to see the things of God that even her mother, whenever she was young, would not take them to church because she said, there's something that's just not right about what these folks are teaching about salvation. But she said, when I sat in the pew in that old Baptist church, I began to believe and to rejoice in the things that I heard those men preaching about. And I joined with my husband. And it's been over 50-something years ago. And she's still rejoicing in those truths today. She's still calling up her daughter and saying, come pick me up and take me to church. They're meeting that at Okinuchi. There's bags that don't wax gross. They don't grow old. You know, in order to be able to keep them preserved, you got to continue to put stuff in it. You got to continue to build on the stuff that's in the bag. There's a way that we can allow the blessings that are in our bags to grow old if we don't keep them anointed with new truths and with the and building upon the things that are in them. He says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I believe with all my heart this morning that our treasure should be in the kingdom of God. I believe our heart should be in the kingdom of God. I believe all our efforts should be associated with kingdom of God here in this world. I think if our effort is surrounding the kingdom of God and surrounding our service to the Almighty, that there's things that we think that you have to labor for in this world will begin to take care of themselves. They'll begin to get in line for themselves because we're seeking that which God told us to seek after and to follow with all our heart. He says, there will your heart be also. You know, you can find out a lot about where somebody's heart is if you just ask them how much time they've spent on certain tasks throughout the week. I was very thankful that whenever we got back last night, I saw where my landlord had cut my grass. She just freely cut my grass. I don't know if that was a hen or not, but she knew we had been running and been out of town. She took care of that. I was beginning to wonder the last couple of weeks if my heart wasn't on a lawnmower because it seemed like I was cutting here, cutting there, and I was running. And all I had time to do is just sort of load up a lawnmower on a trailer and cut the grass. But I tell you, I was thankful that whenever I got home, that task was taken care of me. I pray taking care of it for me. I pray that I can replace all the time and all the effort that I seem to have lost in study of the Word because the Lord sent somebody to do that for me. Praise the Lord. But where our heart is, there where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I tell you, there's a lot of people whose heart is around education. And they believe with all their heart that without a established education in this world, that you're just doomed to fail. And they'll drive their children to study and to do their best in school, and God bless them for it. But if their heart is more there than it is in the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, then your children are going to learn to depend on their education instead of upon the God Almighty that we've tried to serve. There's an error that we can make there. You know, there's a lot of people whose heart is strictly with aunts and uncles and grandparents. Strictly there. Strictly there. If there's anything going on with the house of God and grandma or grandpa has established something at their house, they'll set aside the things of God and they'll attend to the things that their grandparents and grandmother and mother and daddy are involved with. And that'll be what they push and that'll be what they establish. And over time you'll begin to see that they have made themselves follow a God which is not the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. One of the points, and I know I'm off on something, but stick with me here for just a second. If you've gone back and you've ever studied how long people lived after the flood, and one of the better books I believe that Elder Harold Hunt has ever put out is following the grandchildren of Noah and following those. I forget how many there are as I stand before you, but nevertheless, he followed them up until the modern-day countries that are now established there. Is that it's not odd that a lot of the gods that those areas worship, their names are very similar to the sons, the grandsons of Noah. And it's because those men lived so long that those people, they began to worship their family members, you see. There's an error there. Our heart should be with God. And seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And that'll be where our treasure should be. If we establish our treasure there at the house of God, that'll be where our heart is also. You know, the Lord has freely given us an opportunity to start anew as a church. Of course, we're an established body that's been established since As far back as records show, 1859. I'd love to be able to find it to the record before that, but we haven't been able to dig up the book and locate exactly when the church at Macedonia was established. But he's given us an opportunity in a community that, far as I know, the closest primitive Baptist to it would have been a caste church that you could read about in records that Sister Estelle's got if you're interested in reading about it. There's a community up there. There's a place where you can place your heart and place your service to God and say, I want my treasures to be here. I want my service to be here. The Lord says for us to... that He's freely given us this. I remember when I found the Old Baptist Church, I came in just like the children of Israel came into Canaan. I came into a land and ate from trees that I had not planted. I ate fruit and vegetables, and I drank water from wells that I had not dug. I didn't dig those wells. Those people had dug them years ago by God's grace. Those people had planted those fruits and vegetables years ago, but I freely ate from that. A lot of us today can say that about the church of our membership. You know, there was people long ago that had planted the seeds that have now begun to show forth the fruit. And we're getting to eat from those today. I get to eat from them as your pastor, from good works that have been laid by the ones who came previously to me. These things are freely given unto us by God. And they're given unto us by God for us to use and for us to manifest here in this life. You know, later on as he goes through this lesson and as he's teaching them this to be prepared for their service, he's saying, be prepared for your service to me. Let your loins be girt about and your lights burning. As he goes through these lessons, the Apostle Peter asks a question to Jesus Christ. He asked him a question. Then Peter said unto him in verse 41, Lord, speakest thou this parable unto us, or even unto all? That is the centerpiece of understanding exactly what he's teaching them here in this lesson. Because Peter has done what, I know I've mentioned this before, but I believe it's a perfect example of that kid that asked the question that you wanted to ask but were too shy to ask. I used to appreciate people like that in the class because I was too shy to raise my hand, but I was always glad whenever, because I thought I had a stupid question, but there was always, I pray by God's grace, somebody in there willing to raise their hand and ask it for me. And even some of those smart ones in there, you know, would pick on him because he didn't know it, and I just would get to enjoy the benefits thereof. So here you've got the rest of the apostles that are getting to benefit. You and I are getting to benefit because Peter asked the question, are you teaching us this for us to teach it to all? For all of God's children? Or is it just unto us? Is it just unto the ones that are close to you, Lord? Is that it? What is the benefit of this teaching? There is benefits. And the Scriptures teach us in Psalms 145, verse 9, it says that the Lord is good unto all. It says He's good unto all. You know, it rains on the just and on the unjust. The Lord was, even in spite of Esau being wicked, the Lord was still good to Esau in terms of His providential grace that was bestowed upon Esau's people. There's still gifts unto them. There's not only gifts to the unjust, there's gifts to God's children. That are not manifest in all the same levels, that are not given across an even keel, if you will. There's different levels of God's grace. He stood back in chapter 4 of this letter, remember, and he says there were many widows in Israel during Elijah's days, but none of them was Elijah sent, save unto a widow woman of Zarepta. He says there was many back then, but I only sent them unto one. You understand? The Lord's sovereign and has a right and a just right to distribute His gifts as He will. So Peter asked him, he says, is this gift for all? Skip with me down. And you say, how can we skip through so many? Because I believe that the answer to the question that Peter has asked, the answer is given in verses 47 and 48 of this chapter. And that servant, which knew his Lord's will, and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. But he that knew not, and did commit things worthy of stripes, shall be beaten with few stripes. He says, no, these teachings are not unto all. they're unto you. And you, through these teachings, know the Father's will. Will you do them? He says, I've shown you this. And he that knew his Father's will and did it not shall receive many stripes. Judgment in God's word is according to the knowledge of the one who has committed the sin. It's plainly taught throughout scriptures. We exercise that with our children, do we not? Are we gonna? Am I gonna spank a 2-year-old for doing something that that really and truly she's not gonna know is wrong until she's 8 or 10 years old? The answer is no. The answer is that we chasten our children according to knowledge. If they know better, then yes, they're going to receive the chastening. Are these teachings just unto us, or are they unto all? The Lord has given you these teachings and has given you these blessings. And He says, because you know your Father's will, your judgment will be worse if you perform them not. There shall be the Israelites that didn't recognize the Messiah when He was born. What did the Lord say their judgment was? He says they were cast into outer darkness. There was weeping and gnashing of teeth. Do you believe that the judgment that was sent upon Israel was the same as the judgment that was upon ones from other tribes that had never received the commandments from God? What advantage then hath the Jew, or what profit is there of circumcision? Much every way, because unto them were given the oracles of God. These Israelites were given these truths and they rejected them. It grew an outright rebellion against God that they didn't follow Him. And so what was their judgment? It was harsh. It was a tough judgment. Are these teachings just unto us, or are they unto all? I tell you, the Lord has given some life to His church. And He says, if you know your Father's will and you do it not, you shall receive many stripes. We should be filling our bags with these things. We should be laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven. These are the commandments from God. He says that he that knew not his Father's will and committed things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him shall much be required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. And to whom much is given, much is required. Much is given to every blood-bought child of God. They've been given an eternal home in heaven. Unto much are they given. But unto the children of God that dwell in light, you've been given more grace. You've been given the knowledge of what God's done for you. And He says much will be required of you. I believe that as we move forward in a new phase of the church at Macedonia, I believe more will be required from everyone here this morning. I believe more will be required from me. I don't believe that the Lord blessed our church to be able to put a place for me to excuse me, hold on. Open up the scriptures. To open up the scriptures and read and me not use it. I don't believe He blessed us with a place for us to eat during cold weather and us not use it. I don't believe that He blessed us with a room for mothers to rock their babies and us not use it. I don't believe he blessed us with these things for us not to use them. I tell you, whenever the Lord sees that we're not using the things that He's blessed us with, the scriptures and also our experiences teach us that He can take them from us. He can take them from us. Whenever He gives us the gifts, does He not teach us that we should exercise those gifts? We should do them. I believe that we have a opportunity in knowing what the will of God is to follow that will and to manifest His glory through our mortal body so that our light would shine. He told them that very statement in letting your light shine before men in this same story, that the Lord would be glorified and that His glory would be manifested. I believe that there's things required from the people of God. I know I've told this story before, but it's come to my mind. And but it slipped my mind, and I'm sorry. But But the scriptures teach us that unto whom much is given, much would be required. The Lord has not only given the members of Macedonia Church a blessing of having a hope of eternity. The Lord has given us a blessing of having a place to worship Him. The Lord has given us that place here. The Lord has given us that place, and Lord willing, in 2 weeks, being gathered in that place to be able to have a house to worship Him. You know, as I think about what our church has been through since we left the other location, I can just, as I look back, and even in the midst of it, I could feel the Lord guiding us. But even now, I see more and more how the Lord has taken extra special care of us, our church. I see a lot of the similarities of what the children of Israel, experienced whenever they left Egypt. And I'm not saying that where we were at Macedonia off of Highway 20 was in Egypt. But nevertheless, they were moving further and further along in their discipleship. If you notice, whenever they came out of Egypt, what did they do? They wandered for a little while. What did our church do? We wandered for a little while, from yard to here to there. And all of a sudden, the Lord gave them a temporary place to worship. He gave them the tabernacle in the wilderness. What do we have here? We have something that's even nicer than the tabernacle in the wilderness. We have a place that we have a chair seated, a place for a pulpit, a place that has a restroom right there, a place with a kitchen, so that we've been able to feed together. But now the Lord has, we've come to the point in time where about King Solomon came to be king of the Israelites. And he built the temple of God and gave them a permanent place to worship. Let us enter in together and enjoy those things that God has given us and blessed us to be able to partake of. The Lord has indeed been good to us. He's freely given us the kingdom. And it was by His good pleasure that he gave us those blessings. I believe that as we read through the Old Testament, there were some, if you'll remember, they didn't want to go and worship at the new house of God. They wanted to continue to enjoy the things where they were instead of enjoying the things that God had prepared for them. They wanted to dwell on the other side of the Jordan River. They didn't want to press in and go with the kingdom. Let us, none of us, do that. Let us all press across and go together, and by that walk of faith, enjoy the things that the Lord has prepared for the future of Macedonia Church. I have thought for some time about how to encourage you as we enter in together 2 weeks from now, Lord willing, into a new church, that we would be prepared for the manifest blessings that I believe have come, of course, that we've experienced. Experienced here, experienced where we were, but that we're going to experience there. The scriptures teach us that those Israelites were to encompass Canaan land little by little. He says that whenever you go in, he says you have to experience the things of God little by little. You know, our mortal bodies can only take so much, so many spiritual experiences. I think about before my brother passed away, that spiritual experience I was able to have with him, and him tell me that he thought he could literally see Christ and that Christ was calling him home. And I, on the way home, I just thought to myself, our bodies can't take but so much of this. Here in this life, our mortal bodies can only take so much. Just little by little that we get to enjoy the things of God. But may God bless us to be able to enjoy those things together and continue to rejoice as a group in Christ. I want to tell you that I believe that I'm a partaker of a blessing here in this world and getting to be the pastor of such sweet people, of such loving people, of people that I believe are cheerful givers. And I hope you feel the same about your fellow church members, and that you, I pray, feel the same about me. And I hope and pray that the Lord will bless us to rejoice in His marvelous grace and have many experiences just as the Lord had told His apostles here to experience, and that is that we could fill our bags with the treasures from God that don't wax old, that we can continue to believe together in the things that Jesus Christ taught, that His prophets and apostles taught, and that His church was established on. That's my prayer. And I know I've gotten rambled here in the last few minutes trying to get these thoughts across to you. I apologize for that. I let my children sort of get in my head up here, and I know that they weren't bothering y'all back there, but I know they're bothering me, mama. They're bothering their mama, and I'm upset with them, and I'm going to try not to chase them in my hot displeasure. But I did. I let them get to me this morning, and I apologize for that. I remember growing up that I had my cousins began to have babies in the church I grew up in. And the church I grew up in had a bad habit of whatever child made a peep, everybody in the congregation, it didn't matter if they were in the front or the back, everybody would, you know, and it made a mother uncomfortable, you know, to have a child in there. And I never want a mama to feel that way in this church. I never, ever want a mother to feel that way. But nevertheless, I remember he told the church that the child never bothered him. It was the people that looked. Well, nobody looked today. I don't know if you even saw them going on up here. It was me that got caught up in it. And I apologize for that. And I pray that the Lord will forgive us for not finishing some of the thoughts that I think he gave me on these scriptures. But maybe he'll bring them back to us again and allow us to be able to expound on them. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning. And I pray for a good day in the Lord from this point forward. Hope and pray that if there's anyone here this morning who would like to unite with Macedonia Church, would come forward and be received in a way in which Scripture teaches us to receive new members.